Thank you all for coming. What a wonderful big house. I appreciate it so much. We all do. I have an idea. Here's my idea for those who are standing. Could a few short people, either children or just short people, sit in the front with their legs crossed? You can't stick your legs out. Can you cross your legs? Where's your parent?
Nearby.
Right here. There. So if she sat here, she would feel secure and good. This is a very nice person. I know his legs. You can come sit between them with your legs crossed. It's less than an hour, the show. Are there any other short people? With your legs crossed, yes? And that frees up seats for you, please, which I don't see where because of the lights. I see a seat there. Please sit down and be comfortable. Thank you very much for coming again. This is Hudson Teen Theater Project. This is part of Twelfth Night, or What You Will, by William Shakespeare, our own rushed and partial version. I hope you enjoy it. We don't know whether we're going to go on this spring, depending on funds. So after the show, we'll put our little funds box out here again and see if you can welcome us into the new year with promising another semester or two of our work, okay? Other than that, enjoy the show.
Please turn off your cell phones.
Split. When you and those poor numbers saved with you hung on our driving boat, I saw your brother, most provident in peril, bind himself to a strong mast that lived upon the sea.
For saying so, there's gold. Knowest thou this country?
Aye, madam, well, for I was bred and born not 3 hours' travel from this very place.
Who governs here?
A noble duke, in nature, as in name.
What is his name?
Orsino.
Orsino, I have heard my father speak of him. He was a bachelor then.
And so was now, or was so very late.
There is a fair behavior in the captain. I prithee, and I'll pay thee bounties. Conceal me what I am. I'll serve this duke. Present me as an eunuch to him, for I can sing and speak to him in many sorts of music.
Be you his eunuch, and your mute I'll be. When my tongue blabs, then let my eyes not see.
I beg thee, lead me on. Meanwhile, the poor Duke Orsino pines away with his unrequited love for the lovely Lady Olivia.
My love, you do me wrong to come.
my heart of gold, and who but my lady green sleeps? If music be the fruit of love, play on. Give me excess of it, but surfeiting. Appetite may sicken and so die. That's strain again. It had a dying fall. It came o'er my ears like the sweet sound that breathes upon a bank of violets, stealing and giving odor. Enough! No more. 'Tis not so sweet now as it was before.
Where we go hunt, my lord?
What cured you?
The heart!
Why so I do? The noblest that I have. Oh, when mine eyes did see Olivia first, methought she purged the air of pestilence. And that moment did I become the heart, and my desires, like fell cruel hounds ere since, pursue me. Valentine, what news of her?
So please, my lord, I might not be admitted, but from her handmaid you return this answer. The element itself, till 7 years' heat, shall not behold her face at ample view. But like the cushions, she will be able to walk, and water once her day, and chamber round. All this who sees in his brother's dead love, which he keeps fresh and lasting in her sad remembrance.
Oh, that she had the heart of that fine frame, to pay a debt of love, but to a brother. How will she love, when the rich golden shaft hath killed the flock of all affections else that live in her? Away before me to sweet beds of flowers. Love thoughts lie rich when canopied with bowers.
At Lady Olivia's house, we meet her boisterous cousin, Sir Toby Melch, and mischievous chambermaid, Mariah.
What plague means my niece to take the death of her brother thus? I'm sure care is an enemy to life.
Sir Toby, you must come in earlier nights. This quaffing and drinking will undo you. I heard my lady speak of it yesterday, and of a foolish knight you brought in one night here to be her wooer.
Who, Sir Andrew Aguecheek?
Aye, he.
He's as tall a man as any's in Illyria.
What's that to the purpose?
Why, he has 3,000 ducats a year.
He's a very fool and a prodigal.
Fie that you say so. He speaks 3 or 4 languages, word for word without book, and hath all the good gifts of nature.
'Tis thought among the prudent he would quickly have the gift of a grave.
By this hand they are scoundrels and subtractors that say so of him. Who are they?
They that add, moreover, he's drunk nightly in your company.
With drinking healths to my niece, I'll drink to her as long as there's a passage in my throat, and drink in Illyria. What wench? For here comes Sir Andrew Aguefix.
Sir Toby Belch, how now, Sir Toby Belch?
Sweet Sir Andrew.
Bless you, fair shrew.
And you too, sir.
Accost, Sir Andrew, accost.
What's that?
My niece a chambermaid.
Good mistress accost?
My name is Mary, sir.
Good mistress Mary accost.
You mistake, knight. Accost is front her, board her, woo her, assail her.
By my troth, I would not undertake her in this company. Is that the meaning of accost?
Fare you well, gentlemen.
And thou let part so, Sir Andrew. Would thou mightest never draw sword again.
And you part so, mistress. I would I might never draw sword again. Fair lady, do you think you have fools in hand?
Sir, I have not you by the hand.
Mary, but you shall have, and here's my hand.
Oh, knight, when have I ever seen thee so put down?
Never in your life, I think. Unless you see drink put me down. Methinks I have no more wit than an ordinary man has, but I am a great eater of beef, and I believe that does harm to my wit.
No question.
I'll ride home tomorrow, Sir Toby.
Pourquoi, my dear knight?
What is pourquoi, do or not do? I would I had bestowed the time and tongues that I have in fencing, dancing, and bear baiting. Oh, had I but followed the arts. Faith, I'll home tomorrow, Sir Toby. Your niece will not be seen, or if she be, it's 4 to 1, she'll none of me. The count himself here hard by woos her.
She'll have none of the count. She'll not match above her degree, neither estate, years, nor wit. I've heard her swearing. Tut! There's life in a man.
I'll stay a month longer. I'm a fella of the strangest mind in the world. I delight in masks and revels, sometimes altogether. Shall we set about the revels?
What should we do else? Let me see the caper.
Higher, higher.
Stand you a while aloof. Cesario, thou knowest no less but all. I've unclasped to thee book even of my secret soul. Therefore, good youth, address thy gate unto her. Be not denied access. Stand at her door. Tell them thy fixed foot shall grow till thou have audience.
Say I do speak with her, my lord. What then?
Oh, then, unfold the passion of my love. Surprise her with discourse of my dear faith. If she will become thee well to act my woes. She'll attend it better in thy youth than a nuncio of more grave aspect.
I think not so, my lord.
Dear lad, believe it. I know thy constellation is right apt for this affair.
I'll do my best to woo your lady. Yet a barful strife. Whoever I woo, myself would be his wife.
Away went Viola to Olivia's house, but not willingly did she undertake this courtship, for she was to woo a lady to become a wife to him she wished to marry. But having undertaken the affair, she performed it with fidelity.
Madam, yon young fellow swears he will speak with you. I told him you were sick. He takes on him to understand so much and therefore comes to speak with you. I told him you were asleep. He seems to have a foreknowledge of that too and therefore comes to speak with you. What is to be said to him, lady? He's fortified against any denial.
Tell him I shall not speak with him.
Has been told so. He says he'll stand at your door like a sheriff's post, but he'll speak with you.
What kind of man is he?
Why, of mankind.
What matter of man is he?
A very ill manner. He'll speak with you, will you, or no.
Of what personage and ages is he?
Not yet old enough for a man, nor young enough for a boy, as a squash is, before it is a piece good or a codling. When it is almost an apple, 'tis with him in standing water, between boy and man. He's very well favored, and he speaks very shrewishly. One would think his mother's milk were scarce out of him.
Let him approach, and call in my gentlewoman.
Gentlewoman, my lady calls.
We shall once again hear Orsino's embassy.
The honorable lady of the house, which is she?
Speak to me, I shall answer for her. Your will?
Most radiant, exquisite, unmatchable beauty. I pray you, tell me if this be the lady of the house, for I never saw her, and would be loath to cast away my speech, for besides that it is excellently well penned, I have taken great pains to con it. Good beauties, let me sustain no scorn. Good gentle one,
Give me modest assurance that you be the lady of the house, that I may proceed in my speech.
Are you a comedian?
No, my profound heart, that by the very fangs of malice, I am not that I play. Are you the lady of the house?
If I do not usurp myself, I am.
Most certain if you are she, you do usurp yourself. For what is yours to bestow is not yours to reserve. But this is for my commission. I will on with my speech in your praise, and show you the heart of my message.
Come to what's important of it. I forgive you the praise.
Alas! I have taken great pains to study it. Tis poetical.
Tis the more like to be feigned, I pray you. Keep it in. I heard you were saucy at my gates. Sure you have some hideous mass to deliver, and the courtesy of it be so fearful. Where lies your office?
It alone concerns your ear. I bring no overture of war, no taxation of homage. I hold the olive in my hands. My words are as full of peace as matter.
Yet you began rudely. What are you? What would you?
The rudeness that hath appeared in me, I have learned from my entertainment. What I am and what I would are as secret as maidenhood. To your ears, divinity. To any others, profanation.
Give us the place alone, we shall hear this divinity. Now, sir, what is your text?
Most sweet lady!
A comfortable doctrine, and much may be said of it. But where lies your text?
In Orsino's bosom.
In his bosom? In what chapter of his bosom?
To answer by the method the very first of his heart.
Oh, I have read it in his heresy. Have you no more to say?
Good madam, let me see your face.
Have you any commission from your lord to negotiate with my face? You are now out of your text, but we shall lift the curtain and show you the picture. Look you here, sir. Is it not well done?
Tis excellently done.
If God did all.
Tis ingrained, sir. Twill endure wind and weather.
Tis beauty truly blent. Lady, you are the cruelest she alive if you leave these graces to the grave and leave the world no copy.
Oh, I shall not be so hard-hearted. I will give out diverse schedules of my beauty. It will be inventoried as item. Two lips in different red, two eyes with lids to them, item, one chin, one neck, and so forth.
I see what you are. You are too proud. But if you were the devil, you are fair. My lord and master loves you.
How does he love me?
With adoration.
Fertile tears, with groans of thunder love and sighs of fire.
Your lord does know my mind. I cannot love him. Yet, I suppose him virtuous, know him noble, of great estate, a fresh and stainless youth, in voices well divulged, free, learned, and valiant, and in dimension and shape of nature a gracious person. But yet I cannot love him.
He may have took this answer long ago.
If I did love you in my master's flame, with such suffering, such deadly life, in your denial I would find no sense. I would not understand it.
Why, what would you?
Make me a willow cabin at your gate, and call upon my soul within that house. Write loyal cantons of contented love, and sing them loudly even in the dead of night. Hallow your name to the reverberant hills, and make the babbling gossip of the air cry out, Olivia!
Olivia, Olivia!
Oh, you should rest between the elements of air and earth, but you should pity me.
You might do much. What is your parentage?
Above my fortune, yet my state as well. I am a gentleman.
Get thee to thy lord. Let him send no more, unless perhaps you come to tell me how he takes it. Thank you for your pains, and fare you well. Spend this for me.
I have no feed post, lady. Keep your purse. My master, not myself, lacks recompense. Farewell, fair cruelty.
What is your parentage? Above my fortune, yet my state as well. I am a gentleman.
Oh, I'll be sworn thou art. Thy tongue, thy limbs, thy face, action, and spear doth give thee fivefold blazon. Soft. Soft. How now? Even so quickly might one catch the plague. Methinks I feel this use perfection with an invisible subtle stealth to creep in at mine eye. Malvolio!
Here, madam. At your service.
Run after that same peevish messenger. He left this ring behind him. Tell him, would I or not, I'll none of it, and that if the youth come this way tomorrow, I'll give him reason for it. Hie thee, Malvolio!
Madam, I will.
I do, I know not what, and fear to find mine eye too great a flatterer for my mind. Fate, show thy force. Ourselves we do not owe. What is decreed must be, and be this so.
Reluctantly, Malvolio obeys the lady's bidding and catches up to Cesario on the street.
Were you not even now the Countess Olivia?
Even now, sir, at a moderate pace, I have since arrived but hither.
She returns this ring to you. You might have saved me my pains to have taken it away yourself. She adds, moreover, that you should put your lord into a desperate assurance she will none of him. And one thing more, that you be never so hardy to come again in his affairs, unless it be to report your lord's taking of this. Receive it so.
I gave her no ring.
Come, sir, you peevishly threw it to her, and her will is it should be so returned. If it be worth stooping for, there it lies in your heart. If not, be it his that finds it.
I left no ring with her.
Fortune forbid my outside have not charmed her, for she did make good view of me indeed, so much methought her eyes had lost her tongue, for she did speak and starts distractedly. She loves me, sure! The cunning of her passion invites me in this churlish messenger, none of my lord's ring. Why, he sent her none. I am the man, if it be so, as 'tis. Poor lady, she were but in love a dream. How will this fadge? My master loves her dearly, and I, poor monster, fond as much on him as she, mistaken, seems to dote on me. What will become of this? Oh, time, now must untangle this knot I. 'Tis too hard a knot for me to untie.
Journey's ending.
yours, as I am true knight.
Sir. A contagious breath.
Very sweet and contagious, a faith.
But shall we make the welkin dance? Shall we rouse the night owl in the catch? Shall we do that?
And you love me, let's do it. I am a dog in a catch. Let our catch be 99 pitchers of ale on the wall. Good of faith, come, begin.
99 pitchers of ale on the wall, 99 pitchers of ale. Take one down, pass it around, 99 pitchers of ale on the wall.
Malvolio's a peg of Ramsey.
The knight is an admirable fool. Aye, he does well enough if he be disposed, and so do I too. He does it with better grace, but I do it more natural.
97 miles.
For the love of God, peace!
My master, are you mad?
What? What are you? Have you no wit, manners, nor honesty, but to gabble like chinkers at this time of night? You make an alehouse of my lady's house that ye squeak out your cozier's catches without any mitigation or remorse of voice. Is there no respect of place, persons, nor time in you?
We didn't keep time, sir, in our catches. Snack up!
Sir Toby. I must be round with you, no pun intended. My lady bade me tell you that though she harbors you as her kinsman, she's nothing allied to disorders. If you can separate yourself and your misdemeanors, you are welcome to the house. If not, she is very willing to bid you farewell.
Farewell. Ye lie! Art thou any more than a steward? Dost thou think because thou art virtuous, there should be no more cakes and ale? Go, sir. Rub your chain with crumbs. A stoop of wine, all right.
Mistress Mary, if you prize my lady's favor at anything more than content, you would not give means for this uncivil rule. She shall know of it by this hand.
Go shake your ears!
Knight, I'll deliver thy indignation to him by word of mouth.
Sweet Sir Toby, be patient for tonight. Since the youth of the Count's was today with my lady, she is much out of quiet. As for Monsieur Malvolio, let me alone with him. If I do not gull him into common recreation, do not think I would not till I straighten my bed. I know I can do it.
Possess us, tell us something of him.
Marry, sir. Sometimes he's a kind of a Puritan.
Oh, I had thought that. I'd beat him like a dog.
What, for being Puritan? With exquisite reason, dear knight?
I have no exquisite reason for it, but I reason good enough.
He is so crammed, as he thinks, with excellencies, that it is his grounds of faith that all who look on him love him, and on that vice of him will my revenge find notable cause to work.
What wilt thou do?
I will drop in his way some obscure epistles of love, wherein by the color of his beard, the shape of his leg, the manner of his gait, he shall find himself most feelingly personated. I can write very like your, my lady, your niece. We can hardly make distinction of our hands.
Excellent, I smell a device.
I have it in my nose too.
He shall think by the letter that thou wilt drop that they come from my niece, and that she's in love with him.
My purpose is indeed a horse of that color.
And your horse now would make him an ass.
Ass, I doubt not.
Which will be admirable.
Sport royal, I warrant you. I know my physic will work with him. I will plant you where he shall find the letter. For this night, to bed and dream of the event.
Good night, Penthesilia.
Mwah!
Before me, she's a good wench.
A beagle truebred, one that adores me. What a laugh.
I was adored once, too.
Let's to bed, knight. Thou hast need send for more money.
If I cannot recover your niece, I'm a foul way out.
Send for money, knight. If thou hast her not, the end, call me cut.
If I do not, never trust me. Take it how you will.
Come, knight, come, knight. I'll go burn some sack. You're too late to go to bed now!
The following morning, Orsino and Cesario have a heart to heart, man to man.
ever thou shalt lost, in the sweet pangs of it, remember me. For such as I am, all true lovers are, unstayed and skittish, and all motions else, save in the constant image of the creature that is beloved. How dost thou like this tune?
It gives a very echo to the seat where love is throned.
Thou dost speak masterfully, my life upon it. Young though thou art, thine eye hath stayed upon some favor that it loves. Hath it not, boy?
A little by your favor.
What kind of woman is it?
Of your complexion.
She is not worth thee, then. What years of faith?
Of about your years, my lord.
Too old, by heaven. Let still the woman take an elder than herself. So wear she to him, so sway she level in her husband's heart. For, boy, however do we praise ourselves, our fancies are more giddy, unfirm, more longing, wavering, sooner lost and worn than winds are.
I think it well, my lord.
Then let thy love be younger than thyself, or thy affection cannot hold the bent. For women are as roses, whose fair flower, being once displayed, doth fall the very hour.
And so they are, alas that they are so, to die, even when they to perfection grow.
Once more to yon same sovereign cruelty.
But if she cannot love you, sir?
I cannot be answered so.
Sooth, but you must. Say that some lady, as perhaps there is, hath for your love as great a pain of heart as you have for Olivia. You cannot love her. You tell her so. Must she then not be answered?
There is no woman's side that can bide the beating of so strong a passion as love doth give my heart. No woman's heart, so big, told so much. They lack retention. But mine, as hungry as all the sea, and can digest as much. Make no compare between the love a woman can bear me and that I, O Olivia.
Aye, but I know.
What dost thou know?
Too well what love women to men may owe.
In faith, they are as true of heart as we. My father had a daughter loved a man. As it might be, perhaps, were I a woman, I should your lordship.
And what's her history?
A blank, my lord. She never told her love. Instead, let concealment, like a worm in the bud, feed upon her damask cheek. She pined in thought, and with a green and yellow melancholy, she sat like patience on a monument, smiling at grief. Was this not love indeed? We men may say more, swear more, but indeed our shows are more than will. For still we prove much in our vows, but little in our love.
But died your sister of the love.
I know not, sir. Shall I to this lady?
Aye, that's the theme. To her in haste, give her this ring. Say, my love can give no place by no deny.
The naughty shenanigans against Malvolio take shape in the gardens at Olivia's house.
Signor Fabian, come.
Nay, I'll come. The fellow's a scrupulous work. Let me be boiled to death.
Wouldst thou not be glad of the rascally sheep-biter come by some shame?
I exult, man. You know he brought me out of favor with the bear-baiting here.
We shall fool him black and blue, shall we not, Sir Andrew?
And we do not. It is the pity of our lives.
Oh, here comes the little villain.
Get your way into the back street. Malvolio's coming down the walk. He has been yonder the sun, practicing behavior to his own shadow this half hour. I know this letter will make a contemplative idiot of him. Lad thou there! For here comes the chap that must be hot with tickling.
Tis but fortune. Ah, this fortune. Maria once told me she did affect me. And I have heard herself come thus near that should she fancy it should be one of my complexion. Besides, she uses me with a more exalted respect than anyone else that follows her. What should I think of it?
Here's an overweening rogue.
Slight, I would so beat the rogue.
To be Count Malvolio.
Ah, rogue!
Pistol him, pistol him!
Having been 3 months married to her, sitting in my state.
Oh, for a stone boy, hit him in the eye!
Calling my officers about me, in my branch and velvet gown, having come from a daybed where I have left Olivia sleeping.
Fire and brimstone!
And then to ask for my kinsman Toby.
Bolts and shackles!
Seven of my people, with an obedient star to make out for him. I frown the while, and a chance of wind up my watch or play with mine some rich jewel. Toby approaches, curtsies there to me.
Fire and shackles for a limb!
I extend my hand to him thus, clutching my familiar smile, the more austere guard of control, saying, Cousin Toby, my fortunes having cast me on your knees, give me this prerogative of speech. You must amend your drunkenness.
Out, scout!
Besides, you waste the treasure of your time with a foolish knight.
That's me, I warrant you.
One Sir Andrew.
I knew it was I, but many do call me fool.
What employment are we here? By my life, this is my lady's hand. These be her very seals. Her ewes, her teas, and thus she makes her great peas. It is in contempt of question. Her hand. To whom should this be? Jove knows I love, but who? Lips do not move. No man must know. No man must know. No man must know if this should be thee, Malvolio. I may command where I adore, with silence, like a Lucrece knife, with bloodless stroke, my heart doth gore. M-O-A-R doth sway my life.
Excellent punch, I say.
M-O-A-I doth sway my life. Nay, but first let me see.
What digital poison has she dressed him?
I may command where I adore. Why, she may command me. I serve her. She is my lady. What should that alphabetical position portend if I could make that resemble something in me? Softly. M-O-A-I. M. Malvolio. M. Why, that letter begins my name, but then there is no consonancy in the sequel. A should follow, but O does.
And O shall end. I hope. I rock, cudgel them, and they can cry more.
And then I comes behind. And yet, to crush this a little, it would bow to me for every one of these letters are in my name. Soft, you follow prose. If this fall into thy hand, revolve. In my stars I am above thee, but be not afraid of greatness. Some are born great, some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them. Appear fresh, be opposite to the kinsmen, surly with servants, let thy tongue tang arguments of state. Put thyself into the trick of singularity. She thus advises thee, that sighs for thee. Remember who commended thy yellow stockings, and wished to see thee ever cross-gartered. I say, remember. Go to, thou art made if thou desirest to be so. If not, let me see thee a steward still, the fellow of servants, and not worthy to touch fortune's fingers. Farewell, she that would alter services with thee. Be fortunate. And happy. Daylight and Champagne discovers not more. This is open. I will be proud. I will read politic authors. I will baffle Sir Toby. I will wash off gross acquaintance. I will be quite device the very man. I do not now fool myself to let imagination jade me. For every reason excites to this, that my lady loves me. She did commend my yellow stockings of late. She did praise my leg being cross-gartered. Thank my stars, I am happy. Here is yet a postscript. Thou canst not choose, but know who I am. If thou entertain'st my love, let it appear in thy smiling. Thy smiles become thee well. Therefore, in my presence, still smile thee, oh my sweet, I pretty. Jove, I think I will smile. I will do everything thou wilt have me.
I could marry this wench for this advice, and so could I too.
If you will then see the fruits of this sport, mark his first approach before my lady. He will come to her in yellow stockings, and it is a color she abhors. And he will be cross-gartered, a fashion she detests. And he will smile on her, which will now be so unsuitable to her disposition, being addicted to a melancholy, as she is, that it cannot but turn him into a notable contempt. If you will then see it, follow me.
To the gates of Tatar, thou most excellent devil of wit!
Servant's name, fair princess.
My servant, sir. You are servant to the Count Orsino, youth.
And he is yours, and his must needs be yours. Your servant's servant is your servant, madam.
For him, I think not on him.
Good madam, I come to wet your gentle thoughts on his behalf.
I pray you, I bade you never speak of him again. But were you to undertake another suit, I'd much rather hear you to solicit that than music from the spheres.
Dear lady,
give me leave, beseech you. I did send, after the last enchantment you did here, a ring in chase of you. So did I delude myself, my servant, and I fear me you.
I pity you.
That's a degree to love.
Very oft we pity enemies.
Be not afraid, good youth.
I shall not have you.
And yet, when wit and youth come to harvest, 'tis like to reap a proper man. There lies your way.
Due west.
Then westward ho.
You'll nothing, madam, to my lord by me?
Stay, I pray thee, tell me what thou thinkest of me.
That you do think you are not what you are.
If I think so, I think the same of you.
Then think you right, I am not what I am.
I put your words, I would have you be.
Would that be better, madam, than I am?
Oh, what a deal of scorn looks beautiful in the anger and contempt of his lips. Cesario, by the roses of spring, by maidhood, honor, and everything, I love thee so that despite thy pride, no wit, no reason can my passion hide.
By innocence I swear, and by my youth, I have one heart, one bosom, and one truth, and that no woman has, nor never none shall mistress be of it, save I alone. And so, adieu, good madam.
come again, for thou perhaps mayst move that heart which abhors to like his love. How now, both of you?
Sweet lady.
Smilest thou? I sent for thee upon a sad occasion.
Sad, lady? I could be sad. This doesn't make some obstruction in the blood, this crust gartering, but what of that? If it please thee, I have one. Please one. Please all.
Why, how dost thou, man? What is the matter with these?
Not black in my mind, though yellow in my legs. It did come to his hand, and commands shall be executed. I think we do know the sweet Roland.
Wilt thou go to bed, Malvolio?
To bed.
Aye, lady, I'll come to thee.
God comfort thee, why dost thou smile so and kiss thy hand so oft?
Be not afraid of greatness, which was well writ.
What meanest thou by that?
Some are born great.
What sayest thou?
Some achieve greatness, and some have greatness thrust upon them.
Heaven restore thee!
Remember who commended thy yellow stockings.
Yellow stockings?
And wish to see thee cross-gartered.
Cross-gartered?
Go to, thou art made if thou desirest to be so.
Am I made?
If not, let me see thee a servant still.
Why, this is a very midsummer madness.
Cut! What happens now is quite unknown. To whom will Olivia's love be shown? Will it be Count Orsino with his ceaseless adoration? Shall Cesario turn to Olivia and hold her love in contemplation? Or will Olivia's heart be given to another? Shall it be Sebastian, Viola's long-lost twin brother? Will brother and sister reunited be? Or does Sebastian lie drowned at the bottom of the sea? And what of Viola's unrequited passion? Will Orsino remain oblivious to her obsession? Will he return her love, or shall he forever pine for the fair Olivia, whose love he cannot find? What will become of our sad and comic servant, dear Malvolio? Shall Signor Ill Will leave embarrassed or remain to end the show? Let us not forget the mischief makers, for goodness sake. Will Andrew's and Sir Toby's friendship ever break? Or will Sir Toby to the lovely Mariah stray? Will they tie the knot or not? We won't find out this day. For now, the rest remains untold. But return this spring, and we will all unfold.
Maybe.